Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
People of Earth, it's the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 226. And it's Chris Hardwick. It was me doing that crazy voice. Yeah, I just drift in and out of it. I'm annoying sometimes. I would like to tell you that we are going to be performing the Nerdist Podcast live at San Diego Comic-Con on Friday, July 13th at the Balboa Theater. Tickets are at nerdist.com/calendar. And then also we have our Nerdist channel panel. Actually, it's going to be a pretty great day in the Indigo Ballroom on Saturday at 10 a.m. You have your Attack of the Show panel. 11 a.m. the Geek and Sundry panel with our good pal Felicia Day. And at noon, the Nerdist channel panel. On the panel will be myself, Alex Albrecht, Allison Hayslip, Gary Delabate, Baba Booey is going to be doing a crazy show for us, and Neil deGrasse Tyson of Star Talk will be on the panel. We're going to show you a bunch of clips of stuff you haven't seen yet coming up on the Nerdist channel. You're going to get a chance to talk to these guys, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, come on! We got a badass over here. Details will be coming soon at Nerdist.com for other Nerdist-related activities at Comic-Con. I know there's a couple, I'm doing a couple signings there. It's going to be fun. Comic-Con's going to be amazing. Moderating a bunch of panels. I'll give you all that information as soon as I have all the solid times. I'd like to thank Bing for being a returning sponsor to the Nerdist Podcast. If you are heading down to SDCC, as we call it, who like to abbreviate things, it just took me longer to say that than just San Diego Comic-Con. And then my guess is that as a human being, you're going to need food to sustain your bodily functions, but where to eat? Well, if you go to Bing and you type in, let's say, San Diego Japanese restaurants, and then you click search, you're going to get amazing results because Bing has gone social. It's going to show you what all your Facebook friends, like other people who've been to Comic-Con, will be able to tell you what restaurants they at, maybe wait times, what's good to grab really quickly. If you're in cosplay and you need to figure out what food to smash into your mask that you're wearing, although I don't recommend that you wear anything too heavy to Comic-Con, because it's hot down there in San Diego. Well, I say this as the rest of the country's having a heat wave. Never mind. Load yourself up on cosplay. But Bing will give you all the results, tell you exactly what your friends liked. It just kind of makes it easier. Social pulls in Facebook. It'll pull in Twitter. And then you can easily post comments and reviews for your friends on Facebook from the search results all in one place. So check it out while you're down there. Use Bing.com. for your search results, and thank you again to Bing for supporting the Nerdist Podcast. One more huge thing going on at San Diego Comic-Con this year is the Walking Dead Escape. This is an amazing thing that the Walking Dead is doing. They're taking Petco Park, which is a baseball stadium, I'm told. Now I know what it is. And they're turning it into essentially a zombie apocalypse. So you can be a survivor, a walker, or a spectator, but you go in and it's essentially an obstacle course. You go in groups, and then there's a zombie outbreak, and then you have to see if you can get to the other side of the field. So I highly recommend that you check this out. Details are at thewalkingdeadescape.com. And I'll give away a couple tickets, by the way. So the first couple people who tweet at me at Nerdist with the hashtag FaceMeet, I don't know why, I'm just making it up, I'll give you tickets to the Walking Dead Escape at Petco Park. And then also, if you want to use Nerdist7 as the code for when you go to thewalkingdeadescape.com to get tickets, anyone who's listening to this will get a $7 discount. There you go. So you get a discount, The Walking Dead Escape. I'll definitely be doing it. I think we're going to shoot some stuff there from the Nerdist channel. It's going to be freaking crazy. So this episode of Nerdist Podcast, I wanted to bring Billy West back. I also love John DiMaggio, who is an amazing voiceover actor who, among other things, does the voice of Bender on Futurama. He's in Thrilling Adventure Hour. I worked on Barnyard with him for years. I just wanted to get these two guys together because, especially after the Rob Paulsen, Maurice LaMarche episode, when you put voice actors together, magical things happen when you're working in an audio medium. So it was a thrill to get these guys back. To get Billy back, and then also to get John on for the first time. So here it is, Nerdist Podcast episode number 226, Billy West and John DiMaggio. Amazing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, Fred! Hey, Fred! Bonnie's not gonna...
Can't do it again.
That was it?
Hey, Fred! Hey, Fred! Wilma's not gonna like it. Hey, Fred!
Watch me trick Fred.
Let's,
watch me trick Fred out of his Fruity Pebbles.
He's always gonna trick Fred.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being tricked by that little weasel.
Because Fred's such a dick... that you just can't ask him to do stuff like a normal person. You
like,
have to...
like, share his breakfast with you and stuff?
Yeah.
No, no, and no.
Flamp, flamp.
Fred?
You get your own prehistoric breakfast. I think it's pretty... it's pretty cushy, the life that they lead.
Yeah. Mr. Slate.
Oh, what a dick that guy was. That was a lot.
Trying to run the quarry, and he got guys that were like on edge, trying to run out the door as soon as the whistle blew.
Most of the characters on the Flintstones, most of the male characters were dicks. Fred was kind of a dick. Mr. Slate was a dick. That loudmouth Joe Rockhead was a dick.
Joe Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead
was kind of.
Do you
a
remember
dick.
A guy named Loud Rock? Mr. Loudrock,
yes.
Who moved in next door.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That was Henry Corden, who wound up doing the voice of Fred Flintstone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after Alan Reed died.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was the change.
Yeah, and then Henry Corden died, and I can just imagine up in heaven, it's like, hello there, Henry. I've been waiting for you.
And then a slide straight into hell. The two of them fighting. I think a battle of the Fred Flintstones for the eternal.
But doesn't it make you think that there might be like all different kinds of heavens?
There's doggy heaven.
Sure.
Doggy heaven, right? For Lassie and doggy Benji
heaven.
And Spuds.
But then what?
Spuds.
Then nine of the Airbuds.
Yes, exactly. God, that's
and both,
just
both Eddies.
You know what
Frasier.
That doggy
both
heaven
Eddies.
Doggy heaven smells like shit.
It really does.
It
no.
Smells like piss and shit.
No, because when they shit on the clowns, it automatically.
Oh, it goes poof.
Yeah, it turns into toys.
Yay!
For the dogs.
Dog toys.
Yeah. My best dog impression was just like you get a ring of keys and you just whine. You know how dogs have that like whistle whine?
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
That?
Yeah.
And you hear that?
Come on now, boy. Come on.
My crotch is protected.
I always did the.
I got a cup on.
I always did the. My growing up as a kid, there was two chihuahuas next door, so I always had the.
That is fucking good. You're better than a soundboard.
It's the triple though that gets you because it. That triple right there, three,
one,
man.
The third one means, I guess you didn't hear me.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
First two times.
The third one is how many fucking times do I have to bark this? How many times?
Boy. Elbow time.
These dogs are champions.
Come on over here and lick the peanut butter from my inner thigh.
You know, when you're smearing peanut butter on your balls for your chihuahua, Jif peanut butter is about as good as it can get. It's packed with minerals. Dogs love it. Dogs.
Come here, boy.
Who was the famous dog when Clinton...
Lick the shaft, paw the balls.
is that Sylvester Stallone's dog?
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the, what, Clinton's dog?
Yeah, Clinton's Clinton had a famous...
dog. I thought they had Socks the cat.
They did, but they also had Buddy the dog.
Oh, Buddy the dog.
You know, and every night, you know, he'd probably get thrown out of that bedroom for philandering, and he'd wind upstairs in the kitchen, and his only friend in the world is Buddy the dog. He's just like, come here, boy. He won't even come near me. Wait a minute, I don't know what to do. Get some dog food and smears it on his pajama bottoms.
I like that Clinton was wearing pajamas.
Yeah, and he didn't even want to. I don't even really want you to lick my balls. I just want you to lick the area near.
I just want you to think about it and bark. Hey, buddy. Sox, what are you doing here? What? I just pulled your tail.
That wasn't your tail.
Oh.
Hey, you know what? Why you always sounded like that, Clinton?
Why?
His throat was filled with pubic hair.
Hey, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm not going.
That was
a lady in the room.
That was
now.
That was in the time before waxing. So that would actually make sense. I wanted to get you guys on together because it's. Now, Billy,
we wanted to do the least amount of talking possible.
We wanted to be able to just let you guys run the show. Billy, I've worked with before. John, I've worked with a ton.
Yeah.
And
we did back at the barnyard together.
Yeah, we did a bunch of barnyards together.
Yes,
what period is that?
Sheesh, what, 2009?
Yeah, 10? Yeah, around 2007 or seven, so, to six or seven
yeah,
to
yeah,
nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like two or 3 years.
Two or 3 years.
And then Thrilling Adventure Hour, we've done a million of those before. And Billy's been on the podcast before, but John,
I'm new to the podcast.
You're new to this podcast.
I'm very excited.
I wanted to get you guys on together.
Thank you.
I feel like a lot of our time at Thrilling Adventure is me just begging you to do David Lee Roth impersonations.
Yeah, I need a little bit more of the headphones, man. You know what? I just saw them and I was so disappointed.
No, what?
I broke my fucking heart, man.
Why?
David just doesn't. And it sucks too, because the last time I saw them, David was awesome.
I saw David with a Van Halen cover band at Bumbershoot like 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and he was in full like Dayglow spandex and had the hair, and the band sounded awesome, and he sounded great with them. But that was a while ago.
No, this time around, it was really.
He looked like an old rabbi or something.
Yeah, you know what, dude? He was doing like fucking marching band moves.
Did they adjust the?
It was more.
Might as well hop.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead and hop.
It was really just, you know, hey, all right. I mean, he was talking about the old times, and it was just like, oh, dude, man.
Eddie,
he was bitter. He was bitter.
And he could feel the oxygen leaving the room.
Yeah, and Wolf, no, it was rough, man. He was fucking up the phrasing. He wasn't getting it right. And they got a good review in the LA Times, and I was like, who was watching the show? I left.
No.
I left after I'll Wait, and okay. I was so bummed out. They went into Hot for Teacher. I was like, I'm not, no.
Really?
Not even going to do it.
Did
the band
leave?
Sounded great. Yeah. Left the Staples Center. I couldn't take it. He was stinking it up. He was screwing up every song. It was like, wow, this is unbelievable.
You should have hopped
right
on stage.
Now we have Alex Van Halen on line one.
We're getting funny in the back of my car.
Hey,
forget it.
Who is this, John?
Take it just a little too far.
I know you're making fun of the band and everything, but you know, we're old, okay?
No, man.
And don't get old. That's my advice to you. Because it ain't for pussies.
Yeah, you know what? What was the bummer, though? Like, Wolfgang is great.
Is he really?
He's awesome.
Is he better than
that
Michael
kid,
Anthony?
You know what? He's as good, if not better. He is as good, if not better. He's unbelievable. But, man, he was looking at Dave like, you are ruining my father's legacy. Will you please... Just hit the notes. Just get it right.
Could he not hit? Did he not have the range?
He lost the range, and it was just like, okay. It was like one of those situations where you couldn't change the key because it would ruin it.
Right.
You know, to bring it down a little bit. Right. You know, pitch it down just so, you know, so you could hit the notes.
It doesn't rock as hard if you pitch it down.
No, doesn't. And it was just, oh man.
They need to get
somebody that can sing like Dave. That will just sing the songs. Straight away, cut all the bullshit, all the talking out, like all the stuff. To you.
How about you?
You know, a little bit.
You could go audition.
I'll go audition.
Yeah, Diamond John DiMaggio.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I gotta hit the gym. I ain't doing no swinging around or anything like that. I tell you that much. Yeah, you got me on a big trapeze out there. They're gonna have some problems.
How was the Van Halen show? There was a lot of sitting.
Yeah,
there was a lot more sitting than I would have expected.
I didn't know they could rock on stools. I'm sitting there on
David
a stool.
David Lee Roth will be doing comedy in Vegas.
You know, he needs a comedy show. He needs to do some kind of big vaudeville type of show in
with
Vegas.
With all kinds of jokes.
And let him do that shit, and let him have a director that will, write this down.
You should just do Louis Prima's whole act.
The whole all
yeah,
Louis Prima.
Oh, yeah. Sam Butera. No, I was just writing down a joke that I was going to write for him.
It bummed me out, though.
I think you're already writing his act.
Yeah, wait. John Edwards walks into a bar.
Oh.
And the bartender says, hey, we got a drink named after you. And he goes, you have a drink called Lucky Fucking Weasel? Well, so you got to try it out. You got to try it out here. All right, gutter ball.
No, but then David Lee Roth could just do that joke and then go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way out.
A little bit more on the headphones, man. I live my life like there's no tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, it's like, dude, hit the note.
He should tell the weasel joke and then basically be his own soundboard. And then
I'm not the simple life.
Forget it. I don't even. It bummed me out. It was totally a bummer.
Yeah, he'd be like pulling his tie. He'd probably start wearing a tie like Rodney. And
I don't get no respect, at all. He was doing marching band moves. He was like, he's like, dude, are you David Lee Roth or are you a drum major, dude? What the fuck, man? He's like, walking with the devil.
I think maybe.
Can someone get me a seltzer?
No, it was rough.
When did you guys first work together? You must have worked together shit ton.
No, on Futurama. No.
It wasn't until Futurama.
Yeah. That was the first time we worked together, and we,
Were you new? Had you done anything?
I was just a couple years.
Had you done any animation?
I had, but it wasn't on the scale of Futurama. It wasn't like, I'd only done guest star stuff, guest work on stuff. I hadn't had a series yet. I wasn't a series
you
regular
were on a,
yet.
A special. What was it? A made for TV movie about the. Were you Steve Wolf?
Oh, no. I was a Ballmer, Steve Ballmer.
Oh, you were in Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Yeah. That was, I'd been doing more. Before I got Futurama, I'd been doing more on camera stuff. And then I just started doing more studio stuff.
Came along, where they took us to a press conference, you know, where the press is going to go. Yeah. So why the future, you know, and ask these dumb arcane questions. So we were in a limousine. They sent a car for us, and we were like, yeah, you know. And I wanted to sit up front because I get really uncomfortable with someone working for me. You know?
Right.
In any capacity, I'm like, yeah. I'm going to go sit up front. So me and John are in the back, and we're in this cul-de-sac world. All the big stuff is going on. And I said to him, hey, you know what? You're going to be a big deal. He goes, yeah? I go, yeah, you're going to get so much work out of this. And I said, also, another piece of advice from somebody who's in the future is, I said, just take it all in. And it's going to go by. And
like that.
I said, the whole thing will be a blur, so make sure you try to suck in every single moment of this. Because I remember Ren and Stimpy, you know, in Times Square, and you see the shirts everywhere. Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. I saw graffiti, Ren and Stimpy. You know, cut to, 14, 15, 16 years later?
13 years later, 99.
Yeah, it's like, Ren and... who?
No, but I still feel like enough people from our generation still...
No, people know who Ren and Stimpy are, dude. People know... No, that's...
Do they show it on TV or something?
Yeah, I think they do.
Well, it's definitely on Netflix.
Yeah. No, people know. Dude, people know.
I didn't
about
do
Ren
the second
Stimpy.
One. I did the first, the original one.
Did the original one in the original Spumco Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, and games.
And then you took over.
No, and then...
when Bob Camp took over with games.
Yes.
Then you did both voices.
Yes. Well, I originally auditioned for both voices. And, John Kay coached me on... you know, what he was looking for. And I listened to the tapes of Peter Lorre and all these other guys. And we did an audition for the Nickelodeon people. at Nick right in Times Square.
You know, MTV 50, building. 15-15, yeah. Sure.
15-15.
I remember that. Boy, you remember that. I remember that.
Well.
We cut our teeth at that place.
We were in a broom closet. I was in a broom closet with a mop, like a comedy bit with a mic on top of it and a tape player. And I'm reading both parts, and he went in to meet with the women at Nickelodeon. He came out, and he said, "Congratulations. What you just did saw the show." And I said, "Wow." So then he decided he was going to do the voice. I didn't know that that was.
What a prick.
Anyway. No, but I mean, but when I got it back, it was like, I get this rap like, you know, you job thief, you rat, you yellow rat bastard. You know, it's like.
Why, you yellow rat bastard. You fuck your own mother for a nickel, you fucking bum.
Yeah, can I speak to Stu, please?
You want to speak to a guy named Stu?
Yeah, Stu.
Stupid. Yeah. Why, you lousy motherfucker. Yeah. Come on down to the bar. Come on down to the bar, you motherfucker. Yeah. You motherfucker. Yeah. I'll put the ZZs on both cheeks of your life.
Hey, Red, you better get down to the bar. The bar's on fire.
Why, you lousy motherfucker. I'll fucking kill you, you son of a bitch. You fucker. Come on down. Come on down to the bar.
You ever heard those two bar tapes? You remember the two bar tapes?
Yes.
God,
two people as equally as nuts. Think of the guy that's making the calls.
I'd like to speak to a guy named Pepe.
You want to speak to a man named Pepe?
Yeah, his name is Pepperoni. Pepperoni.
Pepperoni! Pepperoni here! Pepperoni! Nobody here by that kind of a name.
Okay, thank you.
Fucking genius. Genius! Genius!
This little dweeb in New Jersey.
I love it.
Do you know that people have spectrum analyzed those?
Why,
those
you motherfucker.
And there's somebody...
Yeah, Red, listen, we went down to cemetery over the weekend. We dug up your mother and we fucked a skeleton.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Why'd you come on down to the bar and say that?
Yeah.
You yellow motherfucker. You fuck your own mother for a nickel, you son of a bitch.
Remember the time Red was waiting? He figured every time he picked up the phone.
So I know. So I know who you are. Hello?
And he goes,
yeah, listen, I speak to Red.
Why you?
And he goes, hey, listen. I mean, all I did was ask you for a fucking name and you know, and he was like, well, William.
he started to become reasonable.
Oh, my God.
You prick, you. You motherfucker. You lousy motherfucker.
Just so genius. Oh, my God. I love that shit. I love it.
Who cares that this show is going nowhere? I'm having fun.
No, this is exactly... Listen, this show has no direction. We just fuck around for an hour. Listen, I could listen to you guys. If I could hear Stimpy or Zoidberg and fucking Bender and just interacting with each other, it's a win for me.
Zoidberg. All right, now let me ask you, Billy.
Go eat garbage. It's free. Why not?
explain to the listeners. The beautiful way that you came up with Zoidberg's voice.
Well, I was I loved old movies. I was watching them on TV when they were practically new. No, 1940s movies were 10 years old. When I was watching movies. I just hope I go quietly in my sleep. The alley over there. Allie, don't worry. I can still fog up a few windshields. Hey, you know what? The guy that did the movie trailer voices.
Yeah.
Who was he?
Don LaFontaine.
Don LaFontaine.
The voice of God.
Yeah.
In a world. You know, that was the guy. He was talking about dating younger women. Because I go to Europe and I have some fun with some women I know. They're rather young. But Don LaFontaine said, don't worry, the girl will tell you if you're too young. You know, too old, rather. She said, the girl will tell you if you're too old.
Don LaFontaine.
Let her decide.
Let her decide.
You sound like you get these pipes from hell, man.
Man.
You ever hear him do Aquaman?
No.
Outrageous.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I've heard.
Of course.
Captain Laserbeam.
Even Captain Laserbeam.
That's such a good.
It's Captain Laserbeam.
That's such a great voice. Oh.
Captain Laser. I love that.
Captain Laserbeam.
Yeah. Hal Lublin. Hal Lublin, the unsung hero
The thrilling adventure.
The thrilling adventure hour. With.
So what? How did you come up with Zoidberg from the old movies?
Oh, well, the old movies was there used to be a vaudevillian. Vaudeville, for people who don't know, came out like after the silent movies. And it was probably around the same time, maybe even a little before, where people would do live shows all day into the night. So if you were just farting around, you could pop into a theater and catch a few comedy acts and a dance troupe.
And forget about how there was a horrible
depression and World War starting.
So the Yiddishisms always killed me. You know, they got me. The manner of speaking and everything, like I was in a Feline's basement bargain store in Boston, and I see this beautiful girl, and I walked right into a support theme, you know, because it was a cellar. It was the cellar, but it was converted into... And I'm just holding it and feeling like an imbecile. I was afraid to move. I thought maybe my head's going to... Pieces are going to start falling out of it. So this woman walks by, and she goes, "With it, you're going steady."
With it.
And I love that kind of stuff. I have a real love of... you can't tell. Love of language, but... that's the kind of stuff. And
Georgie Jessel
would come up on stage and you go,
Georgie Jessel, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
"Hello, ladies and germs." You know, just the old Boris Belt stuff. And he would do an act where he's talking to his mother on the phone from the road. And he goes, "Hello, mama. Yes, it's your son, George. From the money each week." You know, and hardly anybody knows what that means. They're like, "Is this supposed to be funny?" But the Yiddishism is like, you know, me from, I'm the guy that sends you money every week. But they would say, "What do you want from my arm?"
But isn't there's another actor.
Oh, Lou Jacoby.
Lou Jacoby, famous actor.
Oh, yeah, of course. Lou Jacoby. Of course, Lou Jacoby. I know who he is.
Lou Jacoby.
Did you ever watch the Alpine Lace commercials where the deli
for Swiss cheese?
Alpine Lace, Swiss cheese. Because I care about your cholesterol. I care about you and you and you. You know, and so the two of them.
He pointed to the camera. Oh.
He was the guy and everything he wanted to know about sex. He was out on the roof with his wife's nightie. And he had like...
I love that. Oh, God.
And he was like looking in the mirror at himself. Ooh, ooh.
Do you always... I've probably done a fraction of the... I mean, I've been on a couple series, but a fraction of the character work that you guys have done. But I always find, I always just kind of zero in on someone like that and then go, well, that's going to be the basis for the character rather than, is that what you guys?
Well, he had that cool meat hanging off his mouth. So you know, it's like the Charles Fleischer school, the Mel Blanc school is give someone an impediment and it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
That's so, I mean,
true.
I figured how could he talk through these giant, you know, fish fingers you know, and then it would be like, "All right, your music is bad, and you should feel bad."
That's, you know what, though? You bring up an interesting point about the starting point, where you start a voice. And it's whether it's an original voice or an impression, there's always a little thing that's the jumping off point.
Because, like, Stimpy was Larry Fine, right?
Yeah, but up and overamped because you can't have a depressed old Jewish guy be a cartoon star.
Yeah.
"Hey, Mo, I pissed on my shoe."
How old are you?
I don't know how many times I've heard that. It's still fucking funny.
How old are you?
I forget.
Hey, what happened? "Hey, what happened to the Pesach dishes?"
"Mo, my medication."
"Hey, Mo, I heard you having trouble with Helen in the bedroom." "Why, you idiot. Who told you that?"
They just I just want to hear them talk about real feelings.
"You know, I was supposed to get with this woman after my wife died, and my Stunger forgot to get erect, and I went to the doctor, and he said, 'You have Alzheimer's.'"
Hey!
Oh, yeah!
All there it right. is.
Come on!
Diamond Day!
Yeah!
Who was Bender?
Bender. This is the three things. The three. Bender was part. My buddy Ralph Colombino, who is back in New Jersey. He's a theater teacher now. He's a good guy. He runs a really good school for young people trying to be actors and stuff. I just plug his stuff.
Yeah.
Hooray. Ralph Colombino. He used to do Charlie the Sausage Guy. when we were in college, you know, partying, hanging out. And he said, try sauces. They're fun to have, fun to have. They had all kinds of sauces. You have sweet sauces, hot sauces, cold sauces. You can have cold sauces, you can serve some surf cold, hot. You can have Italian sauces, Italian sweet sauces, dry sauces. You can have spicy sauces. It doesn't matter what kind of casing you have. You can make a snap, you make a pop. So
he would do this whole thing, and we would sit there and just riff off each other. And it was part that. It was part drunk at the bar. You know, just,
you don't even know who you talking. I don't want to deal with you people anymore. I got it.
You know, and then Slim Pickens. And Slim Pickens from, like, Blazing Saddles, yeah. Or, you know.
What in the hell in the wide, wide world of sport is it going on?
Yeah.
I told you boys to come out here and lay some rail, you know.
So Bender was a fart, was a chemical mixture of three.
Just mix them up.
It was an amalgam.
Mix them up, and that's where you go. And it's, you know, it's funny because if you listen to the first season and you listen to now, I mean, it's totally evolved. I mean, Dan Castellaneta.
Well, yeah, Homer was, let's go get frosted chocolate milk. Yeah, like, yeah. A totally different voice.
It's totally, yeah. It's grown up, and that's what happens.
But you know what boring? It is? We become, the voices become what they always wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes sometimes 5 years, and you're still a work in progress, and you go, how can I make this better? You know, and mm-hmm. It just happens that way. You fall into something that's perfectly normal and just the exact right thing to do for that voice.
But it's interesting because the point I want to get back to is like getting that jump off point, like where you go, where you start, like, you know, whether it be an original voice or an impression like Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
Like I got to do Tracy Morgan, but the jump off is when you do Tracy Morgan, you got a pow. You gotta pout your face. You gotta be pouting when you do him, cause you can't do him without doing a pout. That's for real, though. John DiMaggio was my cousin. I'm telling you right there. I be making that money pull up in front of the Comedy Cellar with my yellow Lamborghini.
I want to see you and Kevin Michael Richardson do dueling Tracy Morgan.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's funny because I do a better Tracy Morgan than he does, but he does a better James Gandolfini than I do.
Oh, he does,
which is really hilarious.
Which he got from me.
Which he did get, yeah? Did he get it from you?
Oh, shit.
He did.
Yeah, where are you going with that fucking eye makeup, Meadow? What the fuck is this? I'm going to put you in a garbage scow and tow you out there. Waste disposal.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's always sounding like he's ready to cry. This is the last fucking Sunday dinner I ever have at this house.
I think there's also...
Where the fuck is my smoked turkey?
There's also an element where they put tiny marbles just behind his mm-hmm. teeth in the back so we can get a little...
Uncle June, don't have a fucking heart attack now. Yeah, pull him out of the fucking tub.
What would happen if James Gandolfini met Tracy Morgan just walking down the street?
I'm telling you, I'd be real scared of that motherfucker. I don't believe this shit.
Tracy Morgan's bar.
Oh my God.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, can I speak to Bill?
Yeah, you want to talk to a guy named Bill?
Yeah, Bill Loney.
Bill Loney.
Yeah.
Baloney! Baloney here! And Baloney here! I'm trying to find a motherfucker named Baloney! Baloney!
Oh, shit.
Nah, that motherfucker ain't here.
This ain't working. He ain't falling for it.
He ain't falling. I'm telling you. That's for real, though. I know Baloney. That's my cousin right there. He's from Queens.
What happened to Red?
Red don't work here no more. Fuck that motherfucker. He had a heart attack.
Did he ever talk about me?
I'm
the guy that...
Who this?
I'm
why, you lousy motherfucker. Fuck your own motherfucker, yeah, nigga. Yeah. I know you. You want to come on down to the bar.
Yeah,
I put the ZZs in your face.
Yeah.
I put the ZZs in your face for your life. I'm telling you, man, you motherfucker.
You big fairy.
Have you used Tracy Morgan in anything?
I actually used... We did Penguins of Madagascar, of all things. There's this alien, this big, huge alien that comes to Earth. And I was like, I got, because I would always do in between takes, just, you know, screw around and do Tracy Morgan. And so basically, I pitched that I was like, I want to do Tracy Morgan for the voice of the alien. Because it's
gibberish. Flooba globble, gleeba glooba globble. Flabba glooba. Slibba labba glooba, flooba glooba.
And what they did was they took that and then they reversed it. They put it in reverse. So it's like this weird backwards Tracy Morgan alien.
But there's
it's
a seed
awesome.
Of. That's so. I love hearing that because I didn't. The very first voiceover job I ever got was called The X's. It was just a very short-lived Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
And the voice that I did, I auditioned for the show, and then I was like, oh, I didn't feel like I did a good job. So I got this idea in my head, like, oh, I want to try to do Wallace Shawn. Yeah. And so I go back in, and then I do this crazy voice like this.
Yeah.
But it didn't sound exactly like Wallace Shawn, you know, but it was enough of the...
You know what's so great about that is that a bad impression of somebody
is a voice no one's ever heard.
Yeah,
exactly. But the downside was that because he was so loud all the time, then when I actually got the job, I basically was screaming for every session. Yeah. And that's when I learned, like,
Welcome to the club.
Don't always go with the loudest voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough. I actually am dealing with that right now on a show. And
how do you guys keep your throats from getting...
I don't think about it.
I try not to think about it. And when I feel it, I gargle with warm salt water.
And razor blades.
And razor blades and concrete. No,
and
warm salt
crow.
Water.
An old crow. Old crow. Gargle with old crow.
No, gargle with warm salt water. gargle with a little,
like, warm salt. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Gargle with Ipecac.
Gargle with warm salt water 3 times a day, a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, gargle with hot water with lemon and honey and throat coat.
What a sissy.
Yeah, totally. But I, you know,
no,
but
I'm
this
kidding.
Is, but
I
this
should
is,
do those
But
things.
This is when I was, you know, and I was smoking, too. I was smoking cigarettes and
shit. But you don't smoke anymore, do you?
No, I quit. I had to.
I never did that. I did everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I didn't shoot heroin or anything, but I was...
You drink it.
Drinking and, being Irish Catholic, drinking is like an alkadelic experience.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I had to take that.
Why do we...
This smells like weed!
What?
Weed!
I mean, don't bogart that bomb!
Welcome to college.
There you go.
I'm gonna cram tonight.
Yeah.
Anytime Martling comes out, I'm just gonna cram.
Oh yeah.
What?
All we need is some OxyContin. Whoa! Hillbilly here! Our finest hillbilly scientists have been working round the clock to invent hillbilly heroin.
Hillbilly heroin.
And fried, what do they got now? Fried chewing gum?
Fried everything.
They're trying to fry.
Fried chewing gum!
Yeah. Deep fried.
We'd like you to try fried vitamins.
Well,
first it was Coca-Cola.
Oh my God!
And then it was my own
snot. I want the crunchy part, but then I just won't keep chewing. How am I gonna keep chewing if I don't deep fry my gum?
We're Flintstones kids, 10 million strong
and growing.
Did you stop everything? Did you stop everything?
Oh no.
Hey, man, we got weed that's legal here in California, so I didn't stop everything, brother.
But actually, I did. I just recently lost like 65, 70 pounds.
You know, because you have a tattoo that says 314 on your wrist. And at first, I was like, oh, you love the numerical value of pi. And
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I lost, I weighed 314 pounds.
That was the heaviest you ever
were. This is great. I weighed 314 pounds. I lost 82 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
It was awesome. And then I gained 112. I got up to 340.
So your tattoo is going to be a cross.
I had to be crossed
out. And then
I'm not gonna change
then your tattoo became a goal.
But then I lost. You know, this weight. So I'm good. I'm like down to about 270.
You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look great.
I'm feeling good, but I got to lose about. I got to lose about 30 more pounds. Then after that,
with voiceover, there's it's not No. It's not active.
No, you fucking sit down, you have a donut, and you get it done.
You're sitting a lot of the time waiting for your part to come.
Oh, it's but you know.
A lot of those scripts are really bender heavy, and I know the exertion that he's got to, you know, it's like flawless because he'll be sitting there and he'll be involved in a poker game on iPad.
You know,
and then look up and then just jump right in.
I mean, I don't think anyone I think Futurama is like,
hey!
I think Bender, by the way, do you think Bender is the closest to you of all your characters?
You know what?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
A little bit.
Do you steal stuff?
No, I don't steal, though.
Hey, where's
I don't
my keys,
steal?
By the way?
Oh, here they are.
Oh,
sorry.
Fuck,
no, you know what? Yeah. It's harsh, because I'm pretty loud. And Bender's loud.
Yeah.
That energy is that I share that energy with
them.
That's
big energy.
That's big energy.
Fry is
not so
energetic.
It's a lot of stuff.
Well, Fry's got to be the center for everything to.
Well, Fry is like what I decided. I'm giving all these other parts these really cartoony voices and a skilled impressionist. You know, if I acted up one day and they had me on the ropes and they brought in some, you know, mimic that could do those characters because they're so big and broad. But I said nobody can really sound like someone else's normal voice.
Yeah.
Especially like when I was 25, because I was whiny, and I always wanted to know why. You know, like, why does everything happen to me? You know, and I was always like, do we have to? You know, and that was kind of it, you know. Greetings from the year 3000. It still sucks.
I think Futurama is probably the nerdiest, smartest comedy.
Yeah.
Show. I'm telling the levels of satire of that show. I mean, I know, like, I think, you know, South Park is a great show, super broad. It's obviously very smart, but I think Futurama is so fucking, like, just so nerdy.
Yeah. No, it's sick. They have jokes. They have jokes. The writers will argue for 3 or 4 hours about a math joke.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
and
my God.
They're the smartest. They're literally the smartest writing staff in Hollywood. They have more masters and PhDs in math, science, like just
MIT.
MIT,
Harvard.
Yale, Harvard, like Stanford. Like, these people are some of the smartest people I've ever met.
Favorite thing I ever saw was the episode of Futurama where they go to the amusement park on the moon.
Yes.
And then Fry and Leela end up in the Apollo module. And they put a plaque. The animators put a plaque on the LEM that they're inside that says that this was returned here by the Historical Society for Apollo. Because the LEM wouldn't be there because it left.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, you would miss little stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when people say, "Do you get to go crazy and do whatever you want?" I said, "Yeah, after you honor the writer's intentions." And then they'll say, "Were you thinking about something?" And they say, "Let me just try something." And I was farting around in between takes, and I was thinking about the Planet Express, and it reminded me of this business that nobody was ever in. You never see anybody go in there, and you know, it's supposed to be a business. And there was a Chinese restaurant like that near where I lived when I had my first apartment, and there was a sign in the window, and I said, "You know what that sign should say? Sorry, we're open." and then one of the writers heard me talking about that, and they put it on the Planet Express building. Sorry, we're open.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
Amazing.
I love that. Yeah, you know what? The writing is so good on the show.
I love. maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's a product of just my comedy influences or my specific generation. But I just think math references covered in fart jokes are the
it's something else, man.
The best combination of just like super high and super low, but like smashed together.
Yeah, I totally agree with you 150%. It's amazing because I'm not that smart, but I get it. I know how to throw that ball. If they go, "Okay, here's this comedy ball.
Yeah,
it's thrown like this. Can you throw it like?" Yeah, I could throw it like that. Sure, absolutely. In fact, I'm gonna throw it a different way, and it's still gonna work. Like, because it's so funny, because it's so good. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. The guy who's head of the Patrick Verhoeven, head of the Writers Guild.
Yeah,
guy's the head of the Writers Guild is head writer on our show.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
You can't.
But you got to bring something to the table. We can't be just like, you know, just as written guys. You know, you got to put a lot of stuff into it. But when they say, you know, anything like you got any ideas, and a lot of stuff does get in.
Yeah.
But the, plus, they're geniuses at these sentences that become memes on the internet.
Yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah. Or, yeah, shut up and take my money. Or like, or when Fry is like.
Why not Zoidberg?
Zoidberg.
I saw on Reddit the other day someone made a. Someone made the Zoidberg out of like parentheses and semicolons and V's for his little clause, and said, this is the most secure password you will ever have. If you build a Zoidberg out of characters, then it'll be the most secure password you ever have.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't there a limit on how many things you can have as a password?
It's not that many characters. It's like maybe, you know, I think it's maybe 12 or 15 characters. But you can build a Zoidberg with like parentheses and a couple capital V's and then some semicolons and a couple of commas. And
all I can say is God bless the people who have the time to figure this out.
But I think in the marketing of Futurama too, they're smart because they look at those memes and they look at Reddit, and then they play off a lot of that to market the show because they know, you know, they know who the audience is. And I think it's so brilliant.
They love, again, with those sentences and the memes and the words. One of them was Zap Brannigan went in to see Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Mr. President, what the hell?"
I love it. Oh God! But you know, and you know what? I'm gonna blow a little smoke up Billy's ass right now.
No, come on.
No, because he's great to work with. He's an inspiration. He's the man. He's the man. He's Billy West. There's nobody like him. Yeah. See, that's all right.
All right. Easy.
But like, listen to him do the voices that he does on the show, and he does so many of them. I mean, you come up with like Zoidberg's my favorite, but like second, like Nixon. Nixon is genius. Your Nixon is so brilliant.
Well,
and it's just so funny because
it's just
like
silliness.
Yeah, but Matt Groening wanted to make fun of Nixon because he hates.
Well, that bastard drafted me. I don't mind telling
that's,
you.
Yeah, you know?
1970.
So, yeah. Haru, you're going in the army.
Haru. Haru. I mean, it's just so great. Like, my Nixon is his Nixon. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all I have to do is go, Haru. Haru. Haru.
You know why.
He looks like, yeah, the 10 o'clock shadow that he has after shaving at 9.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like I remember Nixon and Kennedy debating on TV. It was the first. I think it was the first,
yeah, it was
first
televised
presidential debate televised. And Kennedy looked like a game show host. You know, he had this perfect teeth and he had like buttered toast hair and he just gleamed, you know. And then Nixon looked, he was sweating. He looked like a guy in withdrawal, you know, from morphine. And he's getting 5 o'clock shadow, like it was happening within 30 seconds. And I looked at him and I was all excited, but I went, Ma, look at him. He looks like he's going to turn into a werewolf. You know, so when they said you want to do Nixon,
but then there's also the Anthony Hopkins Nixon too is thrown in there a little bit.
Oh, you know how he, when I watched that movie, when Anthony Hopkins is a good mimic.
Yeah.
He does like multiple voices. I've heard him. But when he did Nixon, there's like there's Welsh in there or something. Mrs. Nixon is funny.
I love it. Billy West.
Hey, how did you lose 80 some pounds, by the way?
70, close to 70. Diet.
Just diet.
Diet, and then exercise.
Specific diet? Did you do a specific diet? Or just ate less calories?
I went to see a dietitian / nutritionist, Susan Dopart. I'll plug her. She's in Santa Monica. She's got a great book out, and she just set me straight. She's like, you got to eat the right fats, like, you know, the fish oils and stuff like that, and you got to eliminate these particular carbs and this, that, and the other thing. And basically, I just changed my the way I ate, and then I just got all this energy. You know, I lost weight and I got more energy, and then it was just like, all right, I got to do something with this energy. And I just hit the gym. You go to the gym, you just, you know, get your put your iPhone on and listen to your music and just cruise and do 30 minutes on a elliptical machine. And
what are you doing for speed?
Build it up.
What are you doing for speed on that?
I don't know. It's, you know, when I do it, it's, you know, I just go for like 45 minutes. But now I have a trainer, and it's just like, it's all right. I got to get my tries back,
those
brother.
Guns.
Got some guns right here, man.
Hey, how are those lats hanging out there?
Hey, brother, listen, let me tell you something. What are you going to do, brother? The 24-inch pythons surround you. No, I can do my Hulk Hogan.
My pecs are like soft serve ice cream.
Oh, delicious. Yeah. My girlfriend's like, you know, whenever I start eating bread, she's just like, fucking, don't feed the man boobs. Don't feed the man boobs.
You know what they call that?
Hey, you want some of this coochie? You better ease up on the bread, motherfucker.
Why are you fucking Tracy Morgan?
Huh? Hey, no, that's not that shit. That's not Tracy. That's not Tracy. No. Hi, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College, cordially invites you this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, for the first fucking thing.
All right, that's on me. Shit. We'll roll it again.
Trying to cut a fucking spot, Tony.
Barry,
shit.
Barry, we'll roll it again.
Hi, this is Barry White and Paul Quinn College, cordially invites your ass.
It's
come
okay,
on
it's
down.
Okay.
Hi, this is Barry White and Paul Quinn College, cordially invites you this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th. For a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas. But
would you like a boil maker?
This guy fucked these words all up, man. You ever heard that?
Of course.
It's fucking great.
That's so dead on perfect.
I love it.
It's sublime, you know?
This is Barry White. Shit. When he says shit, it's just like, it comes from like just, oh my God, the walrus is just pissed. The walrus of love is just not fucking having it. You know, sometimes in a man's life, shit.
It's okay. It's okay. You want some water or a Boilermaker or something?
It's all right.
It's kind of like Pacino.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it is. It is. It almost is, but is it? Shit. I'm trying to cut a fucking spot, Tony. Jesus. Lord have mercy. I got to get this done. Hi, this is Barry White and Paul Quinn. Motherfucker.
Is there someone that you haven't been able to massage into a character yet that you still want to? Both of you?
I don't know about that.
Who?
There is. I wish I could have a character based on Jackie Martling, but I would just get Jackie Martling.
Yeah, we'd just get Jackie.
It would just be the Jackie puppet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not dead yet. He's what, 100 years old? He's not much older. He's not much older than me, though. I was thinking about that. We had
Jackie?
So much fun.
Jackie.
Back in New York.
Oh, God.
I used to listen to you. I listen to Stern in high school, for crying out loud. WNBC. Forget it.
All right, Gary, bring in the booger eater. What do you mean he's
okay,
not here?
Wolf.
I got a spit drinker.
Oh, God.
All right, bring in the
queefer. Yo.
Why do you think
so that's really coming from where I think it's coming from. Amazing.
Why do you think why do you think Stern was able to completely revolutionize? Because the bummer part is you hear, like, after Stern got popular, because I remember doing like radio interviews, you saw this whole trend of like, hey, all I have to be is, I just have to say the word hooker on my radio show, and I'm just like Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And obviously, and no one else could replicate
many
it.
Many men tried. What, many men died.
What was it?
50 holes in the ground.
What was it you think about Howard in particular that just was so, that just worked so well?
Because he could say something that was just like, oh my God, who on earth would ever imagine somebody would say something like that? And I think, I would, but I don't have the balls.
Yeah.
You know, not on radio. And so he would do something, and then there would be some addendum, comedic addendum, or throughout it that totally just blew it away like fog. You know what I mean? It was like it would make it okay.
Yeah.
Because there was this payoff, this comedic payoff that was brilliant, and you forgot the vitriol or the poison of the remark because you got this great take on it.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. God, I was just talking to somebody about Marge Schott with you. Yeah. Oh. But did your Marge Schott was just, oh God. The Marge Schott.
Calling people bringing us down. We all know it. Admit it.
See, now this is the thing.
As long as my shirts are pressed and my soup is ready.
You know, we're talking about like, you know, like a bad impression is still great. That Marge shot wasn't even a fucking impression of Marge shot. It was an impression of like a racist, like Boston. Fucking Boston woman.
It's a characterization.
But it was, oh God.
Yeah, they would be like, there were women that used to go down and protest, you know, because black people wanted to swim at City Point Beach. And this is in Southie. The mythical kingdom of Southie.
Yes.
Yes, you don't want nothing to eat, do you?
Right.
There's only enough for us.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but it was like these women would get down there. Boston. Get off our beach! Get off our beach! Go get your own beach!
Oh, God.
This used to be heaven, not one colored person. And now they're taking over everything!
The worst
people in the world.
Oh, but it's you know what it is? It's fear and loathing and all that kind of good stuff. You know, it's like ignorance.
Yeah.
And we're pointing up the grotesqueness of the ignorance of Mrs. Marge Schott.
Yeah.
That's all you
How did you
do.
Become so successful in business, Mrs. Schott?
We outsmarted the Jew.
Oh, my God.
I'm jamming, you know.
Oh, my God. Just.
I got a swastika on my comforter on those cold, cold nights. You ever get those?
I've been dreaming about Marge Schott. Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
But the thing is that the
it's
N-word,
such a fucking, oh, my God.
The N-word is like useless because people used to use it and black comedians used it. And then some of the Lenny Bruce might say it as like the hypocrisy of society, how, he could say all these other things that were the racist descriptions of other people. But if you use that word, it took away its power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a word suddenly becomes really powerful, but nobody enjoys it. Nobody wants to hear it. It's just like high button shoes. What was that, 200 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
300 years ago? It's like snuff, you know? Snuff. What do you got to say the N-word for? Nobody even says snuff. And that was 300 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Says snuff.
I'm going to get me a pussy book.
Now, see, this guy was a guy that was outside the 7-Eleven.
That's right.
Where Billy worked in Boston.
Yep.
And Billy would say, hey, man, how you doing this morning? What are you up to?
Well, I went inside and got a pussy book. I got a slurpee and a newspaper because I read my horoscope, you see.
Yeah, really?
Because I read my wife's horoscope so I can find out what kind of a day I'm going to have. And I got a slurpee, and if the slurpee is cold and the pussy book is hot, together they form weather.
Oh, that's like Hurricane Debbie.
Oh, my God.
And they make such a big deal out of it. Storm of the century.
Yes.
How do they know? It's only 2012.
Thus far.
Oh, that's a good forecaster.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hurricane Debbie. So, I know. Hi, Hurricanes Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I have 85 mile an hour winds. I'm going to kick your ass. Don't be a fucking
Debbie.
Asshole.
Hi, Debbie. Grateful to be here.
Well, Debbie, I think what we want to learn is that just because you have 85 mile an hour winds doesn't mean you have to use them.
Listen, I'm gonna totally
Debbie.
I'm gonna fuck up your beach.
I'm gonna cut you off there, Debbie. You need to look into your eye where it's calm.
I'm gonna dot your eye with a heart.
You need to become your eye, Debbie. You know that moment? You need to become your eye.
Oh my God, you're right.
I'm gonna
go out to sea and dissipate.
I couldn't give up the warm water. It turns me into a monster.
Hey, science!
Hey, who here has struggled with addiction and knows this drill pretty well? Anyone?
Yay.
What do you think that is? What do you think that is? Do you think performers, there's just some connection between we're just so emotionally, we're like emotional sponges, and we're so all over the place, and we're so sensitive, and that it's just a lot of like having to quell that.
I think you medicate, you start medicating yourself, which I did. I was just a drunken, cross addicted, you know, cocaine, you name it, everything, for a long time, and I've been sober about 27 years. But I thought long and hard about it, and I thought, well, your brain never shuts off. I think with creative people, it's like you pound it and go, no, now's not the time. Let me go to sleep, you know? It's 3 in the morning. And I remember dousing so my brain would shut off.
Yeah.
Plus it was, you know, the drug of Irish poets, too.
Right.
You know, what was it? My uncle, after a funeral, you know, we go in the pantry, you know, everybody gathers at the house for dinner and stuff, and he's in the pantry, and he pours a drink, and he puts it down in front of me. Meet the devil. Meet the devil? Meet the devil. It's better you know him now because you're going to meet him later on down the road.
Oh, shit.
And he was right.
That's heavy.
Son of a bitch. He was right.
That's heavy as shit.
My uncles used to sleep in the doorway of where they worked after the bars closed to make sure they could get to work.
Oh, my God.
That's right. And I'd do it again.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's. I think there's, when you're young, too, there's this romantic idea of, you know, like, oh, the lovable drunk guy is always having fun.
Oh, man, and then, I was that guy for a long time.
And I realized as I got into, I mean, I quit when I was 31. And I think it, you know, it's fine when you're in your 20s. You know, it's fun when you're a teenager. Fine when you're in your 20s. And you start getting into your 30s, and it's like, all right.
I'm pickled.
Then you're 40s, and it's like, oh, that's a bummer. And then 50s, all of a sudden, you're just like, argh.
No, by then, there's not enough alcohol in your whole town that you lived in to keep you happy. It's progressive.
I haven't stopped drinking, but I've definitely turned a corner.
Yeah.
Definitely
and
turned a corner.
Ran into a car.
Yeah, exactly. Bing! Okay.
You know that kid? Did you see that video of the kid that got hit by a bus right in the middle of the town? You know,
what?
He just for some reason darts out and tries to go across the street to meet the other
group. They're
revelers.
Like some sort of party.
Thing. And this bus just boom, and he goes flying like a special effect, and he was okay.
Whoa! Really? So that's when he found out he was invincible.
Yes. And now he's a superhero.
Yes. I always have that weird. I have this one weird anxiety, and I always thought it was. I guess like most anxieties, you think it's specific to you and then someone else says it and then you're like, what, you too? Like my dad once said, I don't like going up on tall buildings because what if I jump? And I'm like, I totally understand what you mean. I totally understand what you mean. Like, what if some little signal just goes around my better judgment and I just go, wee, and then just jump off? Like, what did I do?
I wonder what this will feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's a stupid joke that would
Not
only make sense.
Good.
There's a stupid joke that would only make sense right now if I tell it. It's like this guy goes to Las Vegas and he starts gambling and he's winning stacks of money after the other. And they're watching him and he's not cheating. He's just so friggin' lucky. So then he gets done. He's got his whole pile of money, and the most beautiful woman in the casino walks up to him, you know, and she's like, you know, Asian, Indian, you know, very exotic. And she comes over and says, I want you to come up to my room because you have this vibe about you that is just making me wet and stuff. you know, it was like he was wishing for things, you know. I guess how he got so lucky is he found a genie. I'm telling this backwards. And the genie said, I'll give you 3 wishes. So he got the most beautiful girl in the world. He won all this money. And then I don't know what came over me. But for some reason, I wished my head was a giant orange. It's like that, you know. What if your brain, what if you just, you had this, what if you had this wish, you know, and it's like, I could have anything. I wish my head was a giant orange.
No! It's Ray Stantz from Ghostbusters. I couldn't help it. It just popped in there.
Oh, God.
The Stay
right.
Puft Marshmallow Man.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yep.
Flamp, flamp.
You just couldn't help it. Yeah, that's that weird anxiety.
Why, do you get at the top of a building and you feel like that?
I have moments sometimes of, like, what if I couldn't stop myself from just leaping over the side? What if I just did that?
It's not a suicidal.
Not at
it's
all.
Not at all. It's not
I
a
don't
suicidal thing.
Die.
It's just, but it's just like,
what if I.
What would happen if I did this?
Yeah. What if I can't stop myself from doing this horrible thing?
Can we get some remote microphones and go up on the roof and watch you do a test run?
I always, whenever I see a cop's gun, I always think, what if I just take it? and just yeah, shoot everything.
Yeah. Not everyone, but everything.
Not like you're going to.
Yeah, just like the thought's there.
What if you did that?
I wouldn't want to own a gun.
Right.
Because you shot yourself in the face.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
It sits in your drawer. Even if the drawer is closed and there's underwear over it, it still goes, use me. Use me.
Shoot something.
Because that thing that we have as little kids. You know the thing that we have as little kids where you like where you might slam your finger in a drawer and then someone goes, why did you do that? And you go, I don't know. Yeah. Like you just did it. Your brain just says, oh, body do
matter. Uh-oh. You get a fart.
Oh no, we're good. Okay, during the kung fu craze.
No, the kung fu craze, I think it was like I was in school and I tried to karate chop a wall just cuz. Because it can be done.
When was the kung fu craze, by the way? Was this in the Ming Dynasty?
70.
At the peak of high karate.
Malik and
Plick.
It
was the beginning of the kung fu craze.
We invent a new way to fight a Malik and Plick.
Kung fu treachery! So in the kung fu craze, you hit a wall with your hand.
And I went, why did I just do that? Because it was killing me. Yeah. You know how you're like too proud to utter screams and pain and register pain?
That was not the smartest thing to do.
We did that. We had that at a live show that we were doing once. There was this really huge guy who was a bouncer, like he was guarding the backstage, and he was he won like the regional strongman competition. And for some reason, I was like, I want to see if I can pick that guy up. And then I tried to pick him up. I got like an inch off the ground. And then my back hurt a lot. And then I was like, why would I just ruin myself for 3 days for no reason at all? There was zero payoff.
I vaguely remember that. That must have been...
You were hammered.
He was hammered.
There's no decision-making process when you're hammered. I mean, you don't even question why you did something. I was up in Vermont years ago. I used to play in a band. Yeah. Many bands, but I was a musician. And we're up there, and it's pitch black. You know, only the stars light up the road. But we played this club, and we're smashed and drinking Ouzo and Anisette.
Oh, Christ.
Anisette.
Oh. All right.
And what's the other stuff? Sambuca.
Licorice water.
Puke. So we're driving along, and all of a sudden, there's this yellow Volkswagen behind us, and it's got Vermont plates on. And ours was Massachusetts. So this guy's, like, bugging us. He's trying to pick a fight with us. Probably because we're from Massachusetts, I guess. But we're all smashing. He's like trying to run us off the road. And then he slows down up there. And then we pull up fast on him and he screws. And then he gets behind us. And so finally, I said, you know what? He just parked. Pull over. You know, and I jump out and I go over to the Volkswagen and the back window or whatever window is there rolls down. And I didn't even look to see who was in there. I just took my fist and started hitting everything inside. And all of a sudden, I pull my hand out, and the door opens, and these guys, these big, giant Vermont guys, keep getting up out of the car and getting up. And I said, oh, well, so what, you know? So they like, you know, you won't fuck around. You're from Massachusetts, huh? I says, yeah, well, what the fuck? You know, Massachusetts, what's the problem? What are we, at war? You know, I just didn't hear it. And then they hopped back in their Volkswagen. And I, before they took off, I went over and I forgot that I had tried to punch everybody the first time. So I tried to do it again.
And they let you go?
No, they clamped my arm and they took off up the road at 40 miles an hour.
Oh, shit.
And the only thing that saved my ass from becoming like, you know,
meatloaf
dog food is the comb, you know, like I had a big comb in my pocket, you know.
Oh,
and it was melting, but they let me go. So then they took off. I get back in the truck. Let's go get him. We gotta get him now, you know, because they took me up the road. You see what happened to me?
They ruined my comb,
my pants and my comb.
Where am I gonna find another comb in the kung fu era?
Life? Yeah, right, you get the voice too. Chase them down. Truly, they are the fiercest of the warriors of Vermont.
The kung fu era.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, no, but this was the hillbilly era. And so we pull into this freight yard, the two cars, our van and their yellow thing, and it's moonlight, and it's creepy. It's like brown and white. You ever have like a brown and white dream? They're like drug dreams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's in this courtyard.
Sepia tone.
Old truck. Yeah, sepia tone. And then there was this...
I'm dreaming an Instagram.
There was a railroad track that went to nowhere, and these guys pull over like, okay, if you're going to do something, come on, do something. So I get out, and these guys get out of there, and I went, you know, I'd like to punch you right in the face for doing what you did. And I would never let up. I kept forgetting that I already had the fight with him. Madam Booze. So, Madam Booze.
Did you fight with him?
B-O-O. No, he came over and he put his arms and he started crushing me like a python. You know, like a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
And I could hear like little cartilage.
Like that time I hugged you?
Yeah, you practically broke my ribs.
I know. It was bad.
I was like, John, no, you don't understand.
I was like, hey, man, it's great to see you.
Oh, and I went, you know, and I felt bad because I love him so much. I didn't want to, you know, this was this big display of affection. I said, man, that's real love, you know. We're so lucky that we got each other to work
with. Now, if you could reinflate my lung, this would be a really great friendship.
A stent. So, anyway, this guy starts, and I go, I wasn't trying to save my life. I just was trying to reason. I said, look, we're from Massachusetts. Yeah, that's true. But we only came up here to just play at a rock and roll club. Okay? That's it. And he goes, you guys play music? And all of a sudden, he lets me go. He goes, damn, what kind of music you play? And he was all suddenly my friend.
Oh, did you guys play a concert for him right there?
No.
We're going to take requests.
No. He,
on the Please Don't Kill Me tour.
Yeah, this is your one stop for this sort of thing, hillbillies.
And a one, and a two. Get the fucking instruments.
Yeah. Come on, we're your home for that kind of thing.
Set up the drum set. Let's go.
No amps. But the guy was giving us beer. You guys like, what do you like? You like pot? You know.
Wow.
They were just the most normal guys in the world, but I think they forgot that we were from Massachusetts because they were also drinking. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, those days are gone.
What? Gone.
Those guys are probably all dead.
Those guys are
anyway,
probably gone.
So what's coming up for you guys? Anything you could talk about?
I got to plug this big thing that I'm doing. I'm executive producing a film. We're doing a documentary. Billy's in it. A lot of people are in it. It's called I Know That Voice.
Yep.
And if your readers would be so kind as to go to YouTube and look up I Know That Voice. We got a trailer on YouTube right now, and it's got 575,000 hits, and I'd love to see it go over a million. So I'll take care of that.
You guys have been doing some amazing, because your Star Wars reading, too, was huge.
That's blown up. That's almost at a million. We didn't even know that was going to happen until we did it.
How wrong was I?
Yeah, right.
I thought the bit was going nowhere. I said, look, John, I'm not reading a fucking 3-hour
Yeah,
movie.
I was like, dude, I'm with you.
And
all
then,
of a sudden.
All of a sudden, no, the impressions were starting to get recycled, and it's like Princess Leia says,
what's up, Doc?
But yeah, that thing blew up. But anyway.
I kept saying, a bit is supposed to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, I said, this is going nowhere.
That it went somewhere because people freaked out. They love it.
What was it about?
You know what? It's because they see people doing the voices. And that's one of the things about this movie that
I'm
doing.
The voices are good, though.
The voices are good, but, you know.
We had designated parts, and the guy said, okay, as the Robble Wobble dog. From something, you read,
this character this way. And it just works.
And
it just works.
And Bugs Bunny will, you know, and I was like, how about no?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just do whatever I want? You know, because I figure, you know, you lose everything if you're being co-opted for comedy. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but it worked.
So I started doing Tony Soprano as one of the Star Wars characters, and I dropped the F-bomb about 14 times. and all of a sudden, I see these little kids looking at me, you know, and they were smiling. And I went, oh. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Which
kids, you don't understand. It's cold out here alone.
Which part? Which part did you do as Gandalf?
I forget.
It was somebody in the bar scene or something like that. I was just
trying to goad him into doing it.
I have to literally go do VO right now.
Oh, you have to go do video?
Yeah.
I have to do VO in 10 minutes. You go, Matt Myra. We're wrapping up here anyway.
What does that stand for?
But vaudeville overacting.
Oh,
vaudeville overacting.
Vaudeville overacting. No, but check it out, though. But seriously, go to, we're going to, I know that voice. It should be done. We should be ready to distribute.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We should be ready to distribute in January, but hopefully we'll have an edit for, we'll see if we can get into the big, you know, film festivals and see what we can do.
Well, it's great. I think people love watching, because the thing that voiceover actors have is, you know, guys like you and, you know, Jeff Bennett and Dee Bradley Baker and Rob Paulson and they're all in it.
I just did his podcast yesterday.
Yeah, okay, Talking Tunes.
Yeah, Talking
Tunes. But those guys are in it.
Yeah, but they're all in it. Everybody's in it. Yeah, yeah.
Your producer.
Yeah.
I think he took like great pains to track down everybody that you could.
Yeah, he did. It's amazing.
So how many are in it?
Oh, everybody's in it. Everybody's in it. Everybody's in it. I mean, we even have Mel Blanc's son Noel. Noel's in it.
Yeah.
We just got access to a guy. I'm working on Out There, new show. It's gonna be in January on IFC, following Portlandia. It's a new cartoon.
Nice.
Just started working on it, so that's gonna be pretty cool. But I was talking to one of the executives, and I told him about the movie, and he was like, when I was 14 years old, I did an interview with Mel Blanc. And I have the footage, and I'm like, oh my God. So we're going to get access to it. I mean, all these little things, these wonderful, Kismet, has just started to have people been calling and want to be involved. And so it's just great. But just, all you listeners, I know that voice on YouTube. Check it out.
What I love about voiceover.
And like our Facebook page. I know that voice.
Voiceover actors, you guys, and I've danced with it a little bit, but I wouldn't. Anyway, but you guys manage to take a character and then boil it down to its most essential working parts. And I think it's more of a skill in some senses than like dramatic acting, because you have to, you only have to channel using your voice.
You have to channel all the physical things that you want
into a sound,
into your voice. You have to channel all of your instincts into that voice so that when the person that's drawing your character, when they have that character design, when they're making that character act, they know exactly what to do physically when they draw it to try and match the voice to the drawing. And it's a very special and sophisticated approach, and it's just the techniques it's just I don't know, man. I just love the job.
You hit on something. John is a master at, like, when Bender doesn't have any particular dialogue, but he's got to make an utterance, like if he gets shocked but he's angry. I mean, that's a weird combination of being, like, scared and angry at the same time. Yeah. That's boiling it down. It's like...
Come on out!
No one's ever going to pay you to do that.
No, but exactly. I mean, that's conveying like anger and fear and all this stuff with no words. And Gilbert Gottfried used to boil down his impressions to a noise. Like, he loved to do David Brenner, that 70s comedian.
Yeah, of course.
And he said, I was goose hunting the other day, and a flock of David Brenners flies by. And he's going... And that's boiling it down to its bare bone.
That's it. That's it. I love it.
I love that approach to joke writing, where it's like, how do I squeeze this one syllable impersonation into, it could be a flock of David Brenners.
Mm-hmm. Done.
I have one.
Gilbert does that.
Yeah.
I have a John Ritter impersonation, but I can only say one word.
I know which word it is.
What?
Oh, you go ahead.
Chrissy!
I knew you were going to say that.
That's it.
That's it.
That's really funny.
The one John Ritter.
I do Larry Hagman.
You do?
I do Larry Hagman, but it's only one word, too.
What?
Genie! 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 Genie!
Yeah, not surprised. Genie! After the Dallas reboot, why they're not rebooting
That's
I Dream
it.
Of Genie.
They know. Done.
Everyone's 80.
That's it.
Genie, give me... I wish for my youth back.
Genie.
Hey, Genie.
You know, Jack Benny was so notorious for being cheap, but he wasn't like that in real life. But the old radio shows... Remember the character actor Sheldon Leonard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheldon Leonard. You know, he was Lionheart.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was in the radio troupe with Jack Benny. He was one of the players, and he plays a robber, and he goes, all right, Mr. Benny, your money or your life? Yikes, a robber. You know, and then he goes, and then all of a sudden there's no nothing for like, a good 15 seconds, and you hear the audience going, and waiting, and all of a sudden he goes, you heard me. What's it gonna be? Your money or your life? And Jack Benny goes, I'm thinking.
That's
And the just a couple of words, you know, it's that Noam doesn't when Fry was drinking Slurm.
Noam doesn't.
Yeah. Dude. I heard you know, beer makes you stupid. Noam doesn't. I said to the guys, I said, you were probably there. I said, David, are you
He was like, Noam doesn't. Shouldn't it say, no, I'm not. Don't, no.
Do you think those people
Please read it as written.
Those people don't get to decide what their couple words are, sounds are, do they? That's other people glom onto that. Do you, if what would you have a
I
word?
I was stupid. I mean, I was exactly like Fry, and that's why it sounded so realistic, because I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't get it. I hate to admit this, but I didn't get it until I saw it on TV, and I was like, ah!
Yeah, sometimes when you don't get the joke and you just read it as is, that's even funnier than getting the joke and reading it.
I think you're right.
Because you're just in the dark, and the joke's on you until you realize what the joke is, and then you're like, wow, That joke is fucking deep.
They must have a lot of jokes about us.
Yeah, God.
So not to...
Billy wants to talk to you. Have you got 3 days?
Not that I think you guys are puppets. I know people actually ask you to do this a lot. Mm. But can we just wrap up the show? I just want to hear...
Why, where are you going?
I have to host Attack of the Show.
Yeah, he's got to go do his stuff, man.
I have to go host a television
He's got a day
show.
Job, brother. This is nothing.
He's got to go host a television
Yeah,
show.
He's got to go host. He's got to be on air. He's got to put makeup on.
Come on, first
Put on
first.
My makeup!
Give me the ball.
Me.
One singular sensation. Every little move she makes.
Ah. All right, fun playing with you guys, but I have to go be on camera.
Okay.
Show off.
Is there a sort of back and forth montage of just, could you just do a quick flurry of voices that you like back and forth? What do you like?
Independently.
No, talking to each other.
You were trying to co-op comedy.
Oh, yeah, well, you hate
you're
that.
You're
I hate that too, Doc.
I'll give you my favorite line is Bender.
Okay.
He's walking up the side of the building with Fry, and they're walking past the room. He's like, get a room, you two! We're in a room. Would I lose some weight? One of my favorite lines of all time. Fucking Bender. I love that line.
They had one line for Zap. I know. It was his love advice to Fry. And he's like, Fry, the way to a woman's bed is through her parents. Sleep with them and you're in.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
We're trying to remember lines from the show.
Oh, that's
and I should just be sitting here. I should be running this thing. And where are you going again? You never explained it to me.
Little Hilly Burford.
Remember
Hilly Burford.
You're Harry Carey.
Am I Harry Carey? Hey, wow. Hey, okay. Hi, Hilly Burford here. Hilly Burford's going to do some fun stuff for you. Hey, how about that?
I think there was an episode of Barnyard that I wrote. It was between you and Maria Bamford having this back and forth where you say, hey, my mom's going to make some blueberry chili. And then she goes, you're a blueberry chili. And then Hilly Burford's character looked at the producer and he goes, see, this is what I'm talking about. She's not even saying words.
Oh, that's
She's
funny.
Not even saying words. I can't understand.
So we've done sports.
Why am I going to have blueberry chili? That sounds gross. I never knew anybody who made chili with blueberries. Is that sweet? Does that even go with meat? Blueberries and meat. I'm going to throw up in my mouth now.
John, it's 2:15. 2:15 in the morning, John. Everybody left.
Hey, where everybody go. I thought I was in here doing some funny things. No, you got to go do Attack of the Show.
I got to go do
Attack
of the Show.
You got to go handle it. Listen, I thank you for having us.
Oh, my God. I love having you,
Chris.
You guys
thank
on.
You, man.
Thank you so
and
much.
You're welcome anytime.
And I'm on Twitter at @TheJohnDiMaggio because you are the Twitter master, for Christ's sake.
That's right. You are.
I just want some of your people's so
what
I can plug
I doing?
My stuff.
I don't know. Oh, I you can catch my act tonight at Winchell's Donuts at 3 a.m.
Yum. Conk Robin.
Those aren't the fresh ones. I want the fresh ones.
No. I used to go in the donut store, smash, and think that I could eat every donut there was that existed. Give me everything.
Bear what? Claw.
And I have,
Bear Claw.
And then I go to my...
Conk Robin.
He was just as drunk as I was, and I said, what time is it? And he goes, 2. I go, 1:00?
On that note,
enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Delicious.
High five, everybody.
High five, everybody. High five.
Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, enjoy that burrito. Hey, does that have sausage?
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Bing. Only Bing now integrates information from your friends on Facebook and experts on Twitter so you can tap into their knowledge and opinions and spend less time searching and more time doing. Now, search goes social. Check it out at bing.com.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.